the practice of dedication and really of praying for blessing, I think you could trace all the way back into the very early days of man. You could go all the way back into the Old Testament. You could find Abraham laying his hands on his son Isaac, and Isaac laying his hands on his son Jacob, Jacob laying his hands on each of his sons and giving them the blessing. And so people came to Jesus, bringing their children with them and asking that Jesus would pray a blessing over them. His disciples thought that it probably was an interruption. So often we do think that the important things of life are interruptions. We get things all mixed up that way. But Jesus said, "Allow the little children to come to me." And he expressed in that his sense of priority. And so, Mom, it is going to be your responsibility to teach your daughter very early the fear of the Lord and to instruct her in the ways of God. It's going to be your responsibility to make sure that she hears and understands the Word of God, that you protect her from evil influences, from people that would lead her astray, and from the influence of things in the world that might pull her away from God. Do you endeavor to do that to the best of your ability? If so, say yes. And grandparents, are you going to help to the very best of your ability?
Oh, yeah.
I like that answer. She lost her fire. Our son Aaron lost his pacifier over and over and over again. We kept having to buy new ones. One day we took the mattress up that he slept on. Hey, come on. And there were about 15 of them underneath the mattress. Kenzie Lee, on behalf of your mom and your grandparents and this congregation, we dedicate you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now, how many of you also made yourselves available to help Kenzie? Because it's really an entire congregation, it's their responsibility spiritually to help raise up children, to raise up kids. And it's a responsibility that we need to accept willingly and to undertake. Now, speaking of which, we're going to show you just a very brief video clip, and then I have a couple of things to share with you about it. Now, you should have in your bulletin a blue half sheet. I think we showed them to you a week ago. And it has a list of volunteer positions that are available for our Vacation Bible School, which is coming up actually in a couple of months. We're working well out in advance. Tammy Hurd is not able to be with us today. She is on vacation in Indiana. So she asked that we might go ahead and share a couple of thoughts. The positions that we are still in need of, we need 3 to 4 flight crew leaders. You'll see originally we needed 12 to 16, so quite a few people have stepped forward with that. We need 2 sing and play pals, 4 to 5 finale friends, 4 room decoration supervisors, and so if you would consider one of these positions, it would be appreciated. You can see there is a place to put your name, contact information, if you are a teen, to put your age, and these can be left at the Welcome Center. If you don't know where the Welcome Center is, look for the coffee pots and just put them on that counter. We'll make sure that they get to the right place. So thank you for what you already have done. Thank you for what you are going to do. In the first service, Ann Gibbs stood to her feet, and she talked about how it is that it's a wonderful opportunity of ministering to children, and you will never make a better investment in your life. I can't say it as well as she did, and she looked so grandmotherly that you can't say no to her. So if you could imagine that I am like Anne right here just for a moment, maybe that would help. We have the kids with us, right? They're here. They're scattered out throughout the congregation and so on. I've enjoyed having you with us today. Boy, it's been great worship. You did a fantastic job in leading in worship. I was going to do that whole thing with them, but I wasn't sure I'd have enough wind if I started to go ahead and finish. But wow, that just brought a lot of life and a lot of energy. I want you kids to know you are such a big part of our church. We feel very blessed to have you here at Pulaski Wesleyan. How many of you have any friends? I'm talking to the kids. How many of you kids have any friends? Go ahead, raise your hands. Okay. You know, you're allowed to ask them to come to church with you. In fact, if you want to really make mom and dad uncomfortable, go ahead and ask them and promise them that mom and dad will help pick them up and bring them on in. Yeah, mom and dad will find a way around that. They'll either ask someone else or they'll find a way to do it. I'd love to see you bring in your friends because God really loves you and he loves them as well, and he wants them to be able to hear what you hear every Sunday when we talk about Jesus. How many of you would feel sorry, for instance, for a youth pastor? Now, I'm not talking of Mitch. Just generically, a youth pastor that has like 7 grades of people that they have to teach to, a wide range of ages. I had a youth pastor years ago. He was an outstanding youth pastor. He told me, he said, boy, it's a tough, tough thing preaching to a 7-year age gap and so on. And I said, I got everybody else. We got them from 3 days, you know, to 95 years and so on. And so it is a bit of a challenge. And I've decided that rather than try to take this message and all of the outline that is here and to preach it perfectly, that you could go online and you could listen to the first service. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to break it down. I want to make sure that the kids understand this message. Is that okay with you? I'm probably going to do it anyway, so. Well, I realized when I was partway through, I wasn't really asking for permission. It was more by way of kind of making an announcement. And so if you try to follow the overhead and so on, if JB tries to use that, probably it's going to confuse you. But we will use that so that we can read the scripture that we have. Now, children, I'm going to call on you once in a while to make sure that you are listening. And so I hope that you will give me the proper answers when I call out there to you. How many of you kids know who someone named David was in the Bible? I see those hands. Clay, come on. Okay, I see. Who was David? Who was David? He was a shepherd, and he wrote psalms, songs, played them on his harp, and so on. He, someday later, after the story we're going to read, he became the king of Israel. And it was from David that Jesus' line of descent tracked all the way back. And so he's a very, very important guy, but before he was king, he had some challenges, and we're going to read about one of them here today. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war. How many of you kids know who the Philistines were? I'm seeing hands back there from the area of the Jackson 5. If you're old enough, you know what I'm saying. Okay, so who are the Philistines? That was pretty good. You know, tell me that again. So, yeah, they were evil people who worshiped false gods, and they were wanting to make the Israelites their slaves. And so they gathered their forces for war. They're going to force them. They assembled at Soko in Judah. The Bible says they pitched camp at Ephes-Damon between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. Boy, do any of you parents trust your kids enough to let them come up here and help me out with this? Yeah? Okay, I need a couple of volunteers here. Oh, yeah. We can bring up more than a couple of volunteers. Why, shoot, send them all up here. Just send them all up here. There you go. Now, what I got to have? Wait. I got to have somebody on one side and some on the other. And so, there you go. Oh, yeah. Isabel, honey, you can step right up there. Yeah, or you can go sit with your mom. Okay, so if you could go a little farther that way, okay. Oh, man. Yeah, that works out about right. There are a lot of Philistines, and there are a few Israelites. And there's space in between them and so on down in a valley, and that's where the battle is going to take place. And so, here are the Philistines. They're wanting the Israelites to be their slaves. Here are the Israelites. They have a problem. I'm going to read about their problem. A champion named Goliath, who is from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. I'm trying to think of a way to go ahead and visualize this. You know where I'm going. Oh, Caleb. They're pointing at you, Caleb. Would you go ahead and come up here and just help us visualize this? Yeah, yep, there we go. Caleb's going to be leaving soon to go to off to college to play basketball and so on. And so, Caleb, if you could step right up here onto the platform. Now, I don't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize your training and so on, or cause you potentially to have any kind of an injury. And so you would tell me if this is a problem for you, right? Because what I'd like you to do is get on your knees. Now, one of the kids, one that's just about the right size and has some courage, do we have one like that? Hey, they'd like you to help us out. Would you be willing to help me out? Yeah? Yeah, come here, buddy. Oh, he doesn't know. He doesn't need to be scared. Okay, well, go ahead. Come here, bud. Now, Caleb, that's right. If you'll stand up now, Caleb. That still isn't high enough, but it'll do for now. Thank you. Thank you, Caleb. You may release Andy. Appreciate you helping out.
No problem.
If anyone ever asks you, if people ask you to do weird things because of your height, you can tell them, let me tell you about the weirdest. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
So here is Goliath, and he is on that side with the Philistines, and he's calling them out. How many of you kids know what it means to call somebody out? To dirty dog them. Challenge them. That's what Goliath is doing. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head. Okay, kids, got to settle down for me a moment. He wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. That's about 125 pounds, ladies and gents. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. That's about 25 pounds. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood, and he shouted to the ranks of Israel. Let's see, I got to be on this side. Here's Goliath, and he's shouting out, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man. Choose a man, and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Kids, could you look dismayed and terrified on this side? Can you look dismayed and terrified? I got to have your help here. Can you look dismayed and terrified? Scared? Scared? Can you look scared? Scared? That's good enough. So David has been sent by his father to take food to his brothers who are in the Israelite army, the army that is doing absolutely nothing to go ahead and to fight Goliath. David went to the king, and he said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he has been a fighting man since his youth." Personal opinion, Saul is thinking, if I can't fight him, you can't. Saul's the biggest guy in Israel. Bible says he stood head and shoulders above all the rest. And so here is Saul, and he's not wanting, I think, personally, to get embarrassed by this. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." So he walks down into the valley. David does. Small David. Small David. You'll do. Come on. No. What? Go ahead. Yeah. He walks out into the valley. And this is what he says to Goliath, to the Philistine. "You come against me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head." Pretty big talk for a small man. "Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air." Wow, this is strong stuff. "And the beasts of the earth and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer, just about done there, Jedediah. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. He runs out to meet him. He doesn't shrink back in fear. When Goliath comes toward him, he runs to meet him. Now there's an attitude. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone without a sword in his hand. He struck down the Philistine and killed him. All right, guys, I'd like you to sit right there on the first couple of rows, so I can look you right in the eyes and talk to you. Oh, you can, yeah, well, that'll work. That'll work. Okay. Sometimes there are things that come into our lives that seem too big for us to be able to handle. Maybe it's a bully at school or at work. Maybe it's a bad boss. Maybe it's not having money to buy what you think you want to buy. Any of you ever have that? You go to mom and dad, I can tell you what they're thinking. I don't have money for the stuff I want to buy, let alone money for the stuff that you want to buy. And maybe even you would come to a time, I'm betting you haven't, but maybe you would come to a time when there's no food in the house. I'm hungry. My stomach's growling. I'm so hungry. Maybe that's you right now. Just occurred to me. It is, huh? Okay. Yeah. My stomach's growling. I can't eat. There just sometimes are things that God lets come into our lives that seem to be too big for us to handle. Have any of you kids ever had that kind of a situation? Something too big to handle? Yeah, James? Yeah. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Here's what David understood. David understood that Goliath wasn't the real enemy. David understood that Goliath was just out there talking on Satan's behalf. That's all he was doing. How many of you have ever heard of Satan? You've heard of the devil? Is the devil strong? Is the devil strong? No. Well, the devil likes you to think he is. He wants you to think that he is more strong than God. And when he gets you really, really fearful, he thinks that's kind of good because he thinks that means that you're not showing the faith in God that God wants you to show. And so what do you do when you feel like there's some great big thing and you're kind of scared of it and the devil is wanting you to really, really be fearful? What do you do at that time?
Pray.
Pray. Boy, you cut right down to the end of the message. I'm pretty impressed. What do? You pray. Here's the thing again, David understood. David understood that Goliath was there, but it wasn't really Goliath who was the enemy. It was the devil kind of standing behind Goliath. David also understood that it wasn't David that God was going to use to win the battle. It was the God who stood behind him. And so David takes his sling. Different part of the Bible that we didn't read says he had 5 smooth stones. Now, have any of you kids ever used a slingshot?
No.
The old-fashioned kind?
No.
You know, the new ones, the new slingshots, have like a band that you pull back and then you let it go and it sends something out flying, you know, and so on. The old-fashioned kind was kind of like a belt. Oh, I sure hope my pants stay up. It's a calculated risk. You won't be back next week if they don't. Okay, so it's kind of like a belt, and it had a little pouch right in the middle. And what they would do is they would take this and they'd begin to whirl it around faster and faster and faster, get it going super fast. And then when they got it going super fast, that's right, it's the law of centrifugal force. Has anyone ever taught you about that? Oh, which sends a stone flying out in a straight line. And so here they are. He's whipping that sling around, and he's got to let go at just the right moment. Because if he doesn't let go at just the right moment, he's going to miss. He's going to go to the right. If he lets go too soon, he's going to go to the left if he holds on too long, if he's right-handed. So here he is. He's whipping the sling around. And he has enough faith in God that he's not scared. He's not scared. And he's able to let go at just the right moment. And when he does, the stone flies out. Boom! Hits him in the right exactly the spot that there is no armor. And here's Goliath. He's stunned. I got to do this right. There you go. Oh, he wants to cut my head off now. I almost brought that part in a message, but I thought some people couldn't handle it. The part where I say, David finished the job. Okay, that's right. So, Goliath is lying on the ground. He's dead. He's dead. Is he ever going to be a problem again? But guess what? The one who had him down there in that valley isn't dead yet. That's the devil. We can't kill him as easily as we can kill Goliath. He's still there. But God wants all of you to have enough faith in him. That's right. If we have enough trust in God, we'll be able to defeat Satan. And so let's talk about five smooth stones. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What if that verse was a stone? Would that be a stone that you could throw at the devil? Yes. I can do all things through God who strengthens me. Because sometimes we just get feeling kind of weak, kind of scared, kind of like things aren't going well. And the devil comes, he begins to whisper to us, think now of Goliath. He's the Goliath of deceit. He begins to say, you can't, you can't, you can't. Maybe God speaks to you and says, I want you to preach someday. And you say, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow, there you go. Any verse is a rock to throw at Satan. Hey, I like the way you think. Step on up here, son. Okay. I like the way you think. So what if you're just full of fear and you're kind of got the trembles and you're worried about everything and God speaks to you and says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. In other words, God will keep you in perfect peace in your heart if you keep thinking about God. Would that be a stone that you could throw at the enemy? What would happen if... How many of you kids have prayed and asked Jesus into your heart? Oh, good. What would happen if Satan came and he tried to tempt you and he said, you're not really a Christian? You don't really have faith in God. You're really just a loser. Would it be a smooth stone if you were able to say this? To as many as received him.
I have washed my sin, so you can't take me, Satan. I'm never going to believe in you. You don't even exist to me.
There you go. Oh, I like the way he thinks, too. Somebody must be doing something right. There's Mom back there. Oh, why can't they be this good at home? Oh, they're good kids. So, in other words, guys, whenever Satan comes and he begins to try to make you doubt, when he begins to try to make you scared and afraid, and you think that God is too small for the problem you got going on, he's lying through his teeth. And you can take the word of God but only if you know it. You can only take the smooth stones up that you already know, the Word of God. That's why God has said in His word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. Just one last smooth stone. Does God love you guys?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Because He sent His Son for us.
Because He sent His Son for us. Hey, that's pretty good. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, and this God commends His love toward us in that He sent His Son while we were still sinners. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. That was kind of good, yeah. Okay, kids, now we're wrapping up. We're coming to the grand finale. So let's suppose Satan sends Goliath at you at school this next week. He just some problem, tries to get you scared, tries to get you off your game. What are you going to tell him?
Ha ha. Not gonna do it.
Ha ha. David was bold. Did you take note of that? Adults out here, those of you who are listening in, that David was bold. I think a lot of people say, oh, we got to talk to the devil with great respect. No, you don't. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. And David just called him out because he knew he was speaking on behalf of the living God. You can go back, sit with your parents. Now we're just about done. You'll only be seated for a couple of minutes. But here's what I want to share with everybody. A number of you already came forward at our prayer time and knelt here at this altar. Oh, thanks, Mitch. And prayed. What if there's something going on in your life today that you need to bring to God? What are you going to do with that? What are you going to do? How many of you have problems going on today? How many of you are tempted to think that Satan is so powerful that God can't work in this town? I think there's a lot of that. I think there are a lot of people who think that what God can do in Pulaski is kind of limited because Satan's so powerful. It's an illusion. It's a lie. It's Satan puffing himself up, trying to make himself appear to be something that he isn't. Any of you ever have a cat? That cat gets scared. What does it do? Arches up its back, makes itself look as big as it can, hisses at you, hopes you'll be scared, and he can't whip you. He can scratch you. He can't whip you. And so after a while, even if you're a child, you learn, cat can't harm me. As a believer, after a while, I think you can get to the place where you can realize the devil cannot harm you. No weapon formed against thee, the Bible says, will prosper. So I'd like you to stand with me as we close. Mitch is going to come. He's going to be playing a little bit here for us. And Omar. And if there is something that has been burdening you, troubling you, something that has created fear in your life, if you want to bring it here and just lay it down at the feet of Jesus, and ask Him with His strength and His power to deal with it, He will. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for speaking to us today. And Lord, I would just ask that right now no one would leave that needs to lay something down at Your feet. I pray that You'll give us grace. You can do that. You can step right out. You can come right up here. Just lay it down at the feet of God. He'll take it away. Lay it down at the feet of God. I've been scared. You've been scared. You've found at some point in your life that God is larger than the things that seem so very large. All you have to do is focus on God. Focus on Him. Not the problem. Focus on God. not the challenge. Focus on God. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you will take all the burdens and all the weights. Those who are represented here at this altar, but those that are sitting out there still in the pews. Lord, we recognize and we acknowledge the important thing is not whether we bring them here. The important thing is whether we take them to you. And so I just ask that you would give us the courage to understand that we are not large enough, any more than David was large enough to defeat Goliath, but that you are, and to put ourselves completely into your hands and to trust in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for meeting here with us today. I pray that when we leave here today, that we will leave with strength in our spirits and represent you. In Jesus' name, amen.